Welcome to Church Media HQ. My name is Luke Clayton, and I want to thank you for joining us for today's episode. Now, before we get started, please take a moment to subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. We're available on just about every podcast platform, as well as on YouTube and on Facebook. And if you are watching on YouTube or Facebook, remember to like this video because that helps it get seen by more church leaders like you. Now, today's guest is Jason Stroll. Jason is the founder of Butter. Butter is a video company that helps churches and other organizations with their video needs, specifically in the area of motion graphics and animation. I had a really insightful conversation with Jason. He's got a lot of experience in the field of media. Be sure to connect with him at his website. That's butterygoodness.co, butterygoodness.co, or you can check the show notes to see his website and other ways to connect with him. Well, let's get to our conversation with Jason Stroll.
And Luke, you've done this yourself. You've done a couple, actually many VBS shot films, short films for churches, and you've had the opportunity to film a lot of these. And maybe you could talk to some of the points, maybe of just creating moods inside your film as well, maybe some experiences that you've had that you could add to this kind of a topic.
Well, it's like I told you before. I mean, I don't... it's like I said, man, I'm learning stuff from you in this moment about, you know, what we can do with, like I said, the lighting and the framing and these different aspects. And I mean, I will say this just to bring it very base level for people. And this is the number one thing that I try to emphasize when it comes to videography. What people need to understand is when it comes to making a video, no matter what it is, whether you're just making like, you know, hey, I'm trying to do video announcements, or I'm doing, you know, maybe doing something more narrative, telling a story like a short film or something like that. A lot of people ask me, well, hey, what camera should I get? And the truth is that yes, a camera is good. The better your camera, I'm not saying that a good camera doesn't matter. Don't get me wrong. However, the camera is, in my opinion, and in my experience, the technical aspects, it's actually probably the least most important, because you've got things like audio, which we talked about, I think, the last time you were on. But now we're talking about things like lighting and how you frame your shot, the environment, the atmosphere, thing, and so forth. All of this is universal. And it doesn't matter right. What camera you have. And just to put it really practical, so for those watching, I'm actually gonna do this just real quick. If I take my lighting here, hold up, let me get over to my where I was with this. Okay. So I'm gonna basically kill all my production lighting. So this completely changed the mood. But not just the mood, it kind of changed the quality. This is a really good camera. This is like a Sony a7S II. It's a great camera. And it actually particularly do well in low lighting scenarios. Whenever I'm shooting myself, I keep it on full auto, you know, so that if lighting does change, I can do things. But this is just a great example of if you are watching by way of video, you can see now my face is now not as lit. The dominant kind of source of light is coming from more behind me a little bit. It's not that I'm a complete silhouette, but it completely changed the feel. Now I'm going to pop the lights back. And other than that kind of initial, you know, shock there of the camera having to readjust, just the image is 100% improved. And also the
color too.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and this is all before any type of, like you said, color grading and correction that would happen in post-production, although that can play into it as well. And so basically what it all comes down to, and the biggest thing that I want people to understand this is pay attention to these techniques if you want to get better at your video. before you think just going out and buying a new camera is going to automatically fix everything.
100%.
Because 100%. Because, I mean, that's the mistake I made early on, to be honest. I thought if I just buy a good camera, I'm good. And again, I'm very grateful for the camera I have. It is a great camera. However, I learned really fast that there was a lot more to it than just, you know, pushing record, you know. And I think that's the unfortunate thing. I do love the, you know, kind of quick access, if you will, or easy, I guess, how easy it is to create something nowadays. Hey, just grab your phone, you know, make a TikTok, make an Instagram, whatever. I do like that, hey, we have people being more apt to create content. However, I don't like that the that it tends to cheapen the experience and people think, well, hey, I can just make a – I can. First of all, don't hold your phone like this when you're making like a professional video. Don't hold it vertically. Come on. I guess what I'm getting at without getting on my soapbox for too long is these principles, even if all you have is your phone – all of the principles that Jason has talked about here with lighting and framing and the atmosphere, you can do a lot with all you have is just an iPhone or a smartphone if you get these certain aspects of creating the mood and the look and the lighting right.
Love it. Yeah, that's honestly, I love what you said. You just nailed it, especially because that's something that would be very relatable to, you know, your audience. That is something that I've even received a lot of times. Like, hey, they'll ask me, what's the best camera I can get? And like, you know, it doesn't really matter if you're not applying those techniques to it. I think two examples that really stick out to me that I'm thinking of to really just nail in that point you're talking about. I was watching, you will see these videos that say shot on iPhone. And what iPhone's doing is, you know, they'll hire good directors of photography to put together these films. And it looks like it was shot on cinema cameras. Literally the reason why, number one, is iPhone has, you know, you can shoot 4K. And also you can have the apps that let you set everything manually with, you know, the ISO, that so it's not blinking. Like when you turned your lights on, it automatically adjusted. You can have it set so it doesn't look like it's just shifting through, you know, looking for stuff. Like you can shoot manually with the iPhone. But if you have sufficient lighting and you have framing, all you need is an image sensor. That's it, literally it. And these shots look amazing. They look like they were from a cinema camera. It's like, how did that happen? Well, the reason why is because it has nothing to do, it has very little to do with the camera that you're using. It has everything to do with the techniques of what's happening, that of what you're pointing it at. Like where you're pointing it is the most important thing, not what you're pointing. And another example of that I watched, someone called Full Time Filmmaker is the channel on YouTube. But they did a comparison with a really experienced person who went through the full-time filmmaker course and then a newbie guy who just kind of came on, and they gave the newbie guy a red camera and then they gave the experienced guy a Canon T6i or something, and one of the consumer brand DSLRs. And they said, make a commercial for this boot. And they both went out and filmed and got all their content, came back together, edited it, put it together, and they played the commercial. And the guy who had the red camera, I mean, he didn't do a terrible job. I'm not going to wreck him or something like that. He didn't do, you know, a terrible, terrible job. But you could tell, like, wow, this dude, it looked like he might as well have shot on the Canon camera. You really couldn't have told the difference whether or not. And the guy who used the Canon camera, his looked like he had shot with the red. Because he understood lighting, he understood composition, he understood color, he understood all these things, because that's what matters. It does not really matter about your gear. As long as you're not shooting with a webcam, seriously, then you'd really see the difference. But most of the time, like nowadays, for what you can get from a camera that you can buy, especially if you're presenting your films on your projectors that are 1080p or so, you can shoot 1080p and shoot a video and put that up in your church and have a good experience within it. And even on your live stream, most people would be streaming 1080p anyway. So right now, with a very inexpensive camera, you can do good quality work.
Yeah. Actually, Jason, let me ask you this. I don't think we necessarily have this in our notes to talk about, but I do want to ask your thoughts on it. I don't think we touched on it the last time either. What are your thoughts about 4K as far as how essential is it, I should say, that you make sure that what your camera is capable of 4K or what you're shooting is actually, you know, delivered in 4K? Where do you think that is and where that's headed?
Well, again, I think it really depends. You have to ask yourself the question, like, what am I doing? That would be the most important question. What am I doing? Where's my content going to be? That's and if the answer to that question is on my church screens, I think you do want to – there's two aspects to this. There's two aspects. So one is like how progressive is my church? What's my budget? You know, what are they – you know, all these different questions. I'll say this. More and more 4K is just – it's just being onboarded to every platform. So by the within a couple of years, I feel like 4K is going to be everywhere. So it's not really a thing. But like I'll just give an example. A lot of churches are using live stream that is 1080p. It's not 4K. No one's streaming, no one's streaming 4K over their live stream. Some people might be doing 720p. But even to get a 4K receiver box or sender box that connects and sends a 4K signal as you set up your live stream setup, those are going to be more uncommon. Most people, I mean, you can get that. So for our church, we have the capacity to shoot 4K. Our cameras can shoot 4K. We can send 4K through SDI. We can send that through onto our stream. We could do it, but we don't have a purpose for it because it's just not necessary to be streaming 4K at this point because the bandwidth, it doesn't really, we haven't found a reason for it, but we do have the capability. I think having the capability, if you can afford the budget, because all those things are going to be more money at this point. So it just really, what's my budget? Where am I putting this stuff? Like, does it even make a difference? For example, we still shoot 1080p. We still export 1080p for our videos at our church because at one point it was literally 720p. I would export 1080p and we would send it and it would play 720p because the projectors were no bigger than that. It's like there was no point. And I thought in my mind, where is this playing? Well, it's playing in the church screens. Now that live stream is very prevalent and many people are on, we decided, okay, we want to make sure 1080p, that our live stream is 1080p. So now if I'm streaming, even though you know the projector is 720p, the live stream is going to receive 1080p. So okay, let's have it at 1080p. So that's a reason why we'd have it. We thought about the audience, who's it going to, where's it going to be seen and viewed. Okay, that's great. Also, maybe this video that I'm making that, you know, beforehand, before live stream was a big thing, maybe it was going to be used later online. And 1080p online is a standard streaming resolution. So let's just say it was a promo for something. And I know it wasn't just going to be an in-service thing, but rather we're going to be putting this online and sending these links to emails and things for people to watch. Then I'm like, okay, I'm going to export this, not 720p for the projectors, but I'm going to export it 1080p so that we can, because I know a lot of the consumption of this is going to be on a computer or a tablet device. So it's just kind of thinking through what's my need for this. It's not like, all right, I need 4K or something like that. Another thing is this, 4K allows you to crop in and out. So maybe you have an upnext announcement and maybe there was a mess up or, you know, you're like, man, I cannot get this right. Like I keep messing up the line or my talent keeps messing up their line and I just wish I could get through and go home, see my family. But to have a 4K shot that's a little wider, you can crop in when they mess up and it looks like another camera angle. And it's just kind of like, you can kind of fake that, you know, you can use that as an editing technique to kind of get through that maybe that script that they weren't able to have time to practice on. So maybe you could use 4K in that way. But I do think 4K is going to be more prevalent as data speeds are higher, as you know, 5G comes out and all this stuff. Like I think as 4K is going to be, as it's needed, then make the change and enable yourself to make the change. Like for our live stream system, we do see ourselves going that way. And we wanted to make sure we had the gear to do that. And we had the money at the time to do it. I wouldn't just say, go do it. If you don't have the money, then that's okay. But there's a lot of factors that you have to consider in regards to, you know, how, just don't, what I'm trying to say is don't be like, oh, 4K, and then 4K everything. Yeah. That's not the point. You're missing the point. That goes back to the whole iPhone thing. If you know how to film, you can film an amazing video on your iPhone. It's not about the red camera. It's about what you're doing with it. And think about what your church uses, where it's going to be streamed, where it's going, not just, oh, I just need to spend this budget or get this 4K camera. But even nowadays, you can get 4K for pretty affordable. So,
Yeah. Well, my thing about 4K is – so I made I look back now and I consider it a mistake. A few years ago, I tried to shoot an entire production all in uncompressed 4K. And my biggest struggle that I had was the workflow. It makes your workflow super clunky because you're dealing with these massive files. And I know there's ways to work with proxy footage and stuff so that it's not quite as a mess necessarily, but it did. And in the end, though, what I'm getting at is it was a lot of effort. We kept on set. I remember we kept running out of room on our hard drives and cards because we're shooting in this huge, you know, 4K format. And so at the end of the day, it really wasn't, it just wasn't worth it really at all, because we wound up just exporting. The final version was 1080, and that's how we exported it. But yeah, I will say my thing with 4K is this. I always just kind of challenge people. Think about this. What are most people watching your content on? Well, if they're watching in, like you said, in an in-person church service, well, they're looking at your projector screens, which are very unlikely they're any more than 1080, and many of them are probably 720. Truth be known, many projectors are 720 because the distance, it doesn't really make much of a difference. But even with your live stream, a lot of people are watching on their phone, and that's such a tiny screen. I know the density of the pixels on the iPhones and smartphones is really high, but really, it's such a tiny screen that most people aren't really noticing the difference, you know, between maybe what's 1080, 4K. Even if they're watching on their TV, even if they have a 4K TV there in their living room and they're watching 1080 content on it, most people cannot tell the difference. So I think that 4K is going to become mainstream just because it's going to become mainstream. Like you said, data speeds are going to get faster to be able to more capable to handle it. Cameras, they're already saying that, or actually Samsung already has a phone that shoots 8K. They're already saying that 8K is coming to the iPhone in the next couple years. I think it'll just become that 4K though will just become the standard, just simply because it's going to become the standard. And so I guess what I'm getting at is my suggestion when I've been asked about it is say, hey, look, it's not a necessity, but you know, definitely be shooting 1080p. If you're not shooting 1080p, then you are a little bit behind, in my opinion. Be shooting 1080p for the most part. If you are able to shoot or have a camera that's capable of shooting 4K, because yeah, you're right. The biggest thing I do love about 4K, I do still strategically place some 4K shots in the films we shoot because I love the ability to crop in afterwards and not lose quality. And I love even sometimes creating post-production motion, you know, just a slight little, you know, maybe a little soft pan, a little bit of like a post zoom there. Those are really simple to do, and a lot of times they create a really nice effect. But anyways, I just wanted to get your opinion on that, because there's some people that are kind of diehards when it comes to 4K. Some people could care less, yeah. But I think you had some good thoughts on that.
Yeah, one, I would say we're trying to speak to specifically to a specific audience. And so I feel like everything we're saying is at a specific time to a specific audience, and I feel it might be relevant to that. I think if you step outside our time and our audience, what we're saying might find itself a little bit more irrelevant. So it definitely is within consideration to that, if that makes sense. I think people who are absolutely very attracted to artistic value and colors and everything like that, they'll be like, oh no, 4K, you got it, bro, the quality, the clarity, the difference between a 1080 shot and a 4K shot, even if it's exported at 1080, the 4K will look clearer, and that is true. But not to the point, especially within the church context we're talking about, I think I understand the people we're speaking to. I think what we're saying is more relatable and more accurate to that specific group of people, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and that does. And that is something great. I ultimately, like you said, everything comes back to is who is your audience? Who are you trying to reach with this content? Because that is definitely, and for a church, you're probably just trying to reach the average consumer, if you will, unless you're maybe got a, I don't know, if you've got a church that's in the Hollywood art district, artsy film district, whatever. Okay, maybe, you know, and actually, I will say this, you know, Jason, you're there at a church in California. And so, yeah, people might be just in general, California tends to, at least they think they are, they tend to kind of convince everybody that they're more progressive and on the cutting edge. And and whatever, and that's the type of people that are there. And so, yeah, the culture and the demographic there is going to influence a lot of the decisions you make when it comes to the type of content you're putting out and whatever. And so, yeah, that is something to consider. But getting back to the whole 4K debate, if you will, yeah, people, most people, unless they are kind of artsy and, you know, whatever, they're not going to notice, and they're not going to, they're really at the end not going to care. And, you know, my thing is, hey, if you don't, with any of this, like I said, just like it comes down with a camera or with the gear, the equipment, don't let the fact that you think that you need to do 4K be the reason that you're held back from actually doing something. You know, don't be like, well, I can't shoot 4K. I don't have a camera to 4K. So there's no use in even trying. No. You're good. If you could shoot 1080, you're good to go in most cases.
100%. Totally agree with you, man. You're on fire.
Well, Jason, you have given us really, man, that's like almost a masterclass in lighting and composition and things. And so it's been really good. I just learned so much. This has been the second conversation we've had, here for the podcast. And so it's been really good. I kind of drifted away from our notes here, but was there anything else you wanted to touch on here before we sign off?
No, those are kind of the topics that I wanted to address. So hopefully there's just some things that have helped me. I tried to best articulate it how I understood it. So hopefully maybe some of those things hit home for you, and maybe something you can implement in your work coming up in the future. But yeah, I just want to try and be a little bit of a help as you are on your journey to developing your creative process.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, all good stuff. And, again, I'll circle back to this, what I was just saying. My biggest encouragement whenever I have someone like you, have a conversation with someone like you, and we put it out there for, others to hear, is to say to those people, because very likely if you're watching or listening, you are creative to some extent, or you're overseeing your creative department. And my thing is always, hey, don't let something, just get out there and do it. Because the best way for you say, well, we talked about all this different lighting and whatever, and I don't know, man, I that's a lot. I don't know if I can do that. Look, just do something, because that's the only way you're going to learn it, by doing it. Jason, I don't know about you, but when I go back and look at the first stuff that I made, it's awful. It's horrible. It's but you have to start somewhere. So get out there, start making it and just start practicing, because practice makes perfect. You have to put into action the things that you learn, and you'll get there. You'll make some really nice stuff if you keep at it.
100%. Well, yeah, Luke, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yep. Well, we will hopefully have you again sometime. And thanks again, Jason. And remember to connect with Jason, butter.co. Wait, hold up. I got it right there.
Butterygoodness.co. Butterygoodness.co.
I knew that. I
no Butterygoodness.co.
Check out what Jason's got out there. He's got some really good stuff. And if you need help with a video project, be sure to hit him up. All right, Jason, thanks again. We'll see you again soon. Well, thanks again for joining us right here at Church Media HQ. We've been talking about Church Media HQ as far as what that means beyond just our podcast and YouTube content. We are providing creative content and resources for churches, things like designs, graphics, videos, and even creative coaching. And a lot of this is free, completely free of charge. If you head over to churchmediahq.com, you're going to learn more about these resources that we provide. And if you want a higher level of service and even more, look into Church Media HQ Premium. Church Media HQ Premium is the most affordable, full service, creative solution for churches. We're going to offer you again a collection of graphics, and including source files and Photoshop files that you can edit yourself. And if for some reason that graphics collection doesn't have what you're looking for, then we're going to even deliver other graphics based and custom tailored to what your requirements and your specifications of what you need. We also include our video series and other video assets as part of the Church Media HQ Premium membership. And we offer priority coaching, which means you are going to be able to get on more coaching calls and get more help that are dedicated to your church specifically and helping you with your needs there. Again, just head over to churchmediahq.com if you are interested in either the free content or the premium content available through Church Media HQ. Well, until next time, I want to remind you, as always, you know what I'm going to say. In fact, you need to be the one saying it back to me. You know what it's time for. It's time that you try something new. Why? Well, because it is so much better to fail at trying the incredible than it is to succeed at doing just the average. We'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.